So it's hard to believe, but we're only 3 days away from New Year's and 2020 and all the stuff that you want to accomplish and do, right, that we think about when we look into a new year. And as I always say, this is just a time of year that's just unique because we look back and we look forward all at the same time, right? Everybody's looking back. And in fact, now, right, we don't look just back over the past year. Everybody's doing all this decade stuff. Look what happened over this decade. I'm like, oh my goodness, right? All this stuff happened in the last 10 years. So it's even more looking back and more reflection and more of look what happened. And then at the same time, oh, it's not, we're starting 2020 and we're starting a new decade and we're starting all these things. And here's what I wonder. If most of us are thinking about this idea, that we're trying to figure out what we want to, and here's our key word, accomplish in the new year. That's what most of us, when we think about new year, we think about this idea of resolutions, we think about what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What do I got to get done, right? And maybe you've thought about it. Maybe you start formulating a list. Here's the things I want to do. Here's the things we need to do. Maybe you've had discussions in your home like this. And they all mostly center around, what do I want to accomplish? What do I want to do? And they tend to focus around that. So you might say, this year we're going to get healthy, right? Hopefully you didn't buy that exercise equipment for Christmas. That might not have gotten communicated very well, okay? Just say, some of you wanted to get out of debt. So you're excited because Thursday starts financial peace. And you can be like, oh, we're going to get started, and we're going to get this done, and we're going to get this accomplished. Some of you just want more family time. Maybe we can just slow down a little bit. Maybe we can, you know. But most of them are centered around, what am I going to do? And this is just the way we think. This is the way I think. So this morning, this is pretty new, okay? I'm just going to be really upfront. This is new. I'm still learning this and trying to figure out what this looks like for me. I'm just going to include you on in my journey, and we can just mess it up together. Okay, that's what I just figured, right? We just do this together this morning, because this is very different. I've been taught, you've probably been taught, you just approach this new year, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And then I had an experience a few weeks ago that I'll talk about here in a moment. I want to start with a new question. What do you need to stop doing this year? What do you need to stop doing? It's like, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked me that question. It's, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to accomplish? What am I going to get done? And we don't normally ever stop and say, what do I need to stop doing this year? Okay? And it all became because I had this experience trying to unsubscribe to something. Okay? I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I purchased a car part. Okay? And unbeknownst to me, sometimes you have to look at these things really carefully, I subscribed to some email that showed up every single day telling me what the next car part is I need to buy, okay? And I'm going, there's got to be a way to show. A week of that was enough, okay? This is ridiculous. There's got to be a way to unsubscribe, okay? Now, I will just tell you, it was far easier to subscribe than to unsubscribe. And it's just true. It is far easier. Unsubscribing is much harder. And finally, after 15 minutes, finding a box about this big, okay, probably about 6-point font, okay, as small as they could go, there was, if you want to unsubscribe, click here, okay? Finally, I found how to get out of it and be done with it and stop getting those emails. And I'm telling you, that just triggered something in me that said, wow, this unsubscribing thing is really hard. It's really difficult. Now, signing up was easy because I don't even remember doing it. It just happened. It was just another thing that got added in. It was another thing that got put on, and it just became something you got over and over and over again. Most of us, that's how we do life. We subscribe, we subscribe, we subscribe. And very few times, at least for me, and maybe you can identify this morning, do we ever unsubscribe? Do we ever stop doing? Unless we're forced to, unless something happens, rarely do we think through, what do I need to stop doing? So I want us to consider that this morning, that perhaps God has something better in store for us than we think, and it's all because we got to grab onto this idea and think through what we are currently doing in our life, and perhaps there's something we just need to stop doing, something we need to unsubscribe to. So we'll be looking at different verses. You can follow along on the screen, follow along in the YouVersion app, go into the events page, okay? But we're going to start in the beginning, which is the book of Genesis, okay? And so maybe you've ran by this before, okay? And you've ran over this verse, and you never stopped asking questions, okay? So here it is. This is Genesis chapter 2. After all creation gets done, and we read this. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, and so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, set apart, different, okay? Because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. Now, I don't know if you've ever read that and asked this question. Why did God rest? Was he tired? Okay? Was creating really hard? Was it really difficult? I mean, did he finally rest after saying, okay, Adam and Eve are done, they're completed, now I can rest? Why did God rest? Have you ever asked that question? Why did he rest? Why did he stop? Why did he complete and say, okay, I'm done, I need to rest? And perhaps it's because the answer is something we've not thought about before. That God is doing this to try to teach something, not because he needs to do something or not do something. Rather, he's trying to teach a way of life that's far different from what we are used to. So if you think about it, the book of Genesis was written first by Moses, okay? He gets to record all this and record the whole story of God's people. He does that as they are coming out of Egypt, okay? Do you know what happened in Egypt? Let me just refresh your memory. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. I don't know, does that sound like they got any time off? Okay? Does that sound like they got a vacation? Does that sound like there was any time to stop? No. They were ruthless. They were overbearing. It was 7 days a week. It was constant go, 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 go. You're going to build. You're our slaves. And so God's people come out of Egypt, and they have to learn what? Is this the way we're supposed to live? Is this what we're supposed to do? Everything we do, we're supposed to go, 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 and do, because that's what Egypt taught us. We do, we go, we accomplish. So could it be that God has to change the story? Because Egypt's story is, and I'm telling you, this is a lot of what we hear in our culture. You are what you produce. You are what you produce. And so we define ourselves and we have our identity in what we produce. If I'd ask you who you are, most of us, we start with our job title. Well, I'm a pastor, right? You work in a certain position. You have a certain job that you have. Some of you are in management. Some of you do different things, right? You would look at your position and say, I am what I produce. Some of you would say, I'm a mom. I am what I produce, what I put forth, what I get accomplished. And that's the story of Egypt. I just think it's fascinating. We've gone all the way back to Egypt and we've adopted their story. That we are what we produce. And let me tell you, everybody talks about this. Okay? The pastor blogs and emails that I get talk about this. You know what they say? You need to get up earlier. Come on, pastors, get up at 5 in the morning. You need to get going. You need to write. You need to blog. You need to do all this stuff. Right? It's go, 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 do. You know what they're telling us? You are what you produce. And it's everywhere. And I don't know about you, but I'm bombarded with this message. You're bombarded with this message. And I just think it's going to be a different message than we are what we produce. We are what we get accomplished. So therefore, we look forward to 2020, and we're going to measure how good of a year it was by how much we get done. Did I do all this stuff I said I was going to do? Look at, I checked all these boxes. I did all these things. And we might get to the end of 2020 and we might go, whoo, what's next year? All right? And start our list and here's all the stuff. But that's Egypt's story. And God has to do something to change their story. God's story is, you're my creation. I love you. I created you. I want to be in relationship with you. So I need to change the narrative that you've learned all this time in Egypt. Of, I got to produce, because I am what I produce. In fact, let me just take one other verse that you've probably read before, okay? If you read through Genesis 1, you keep finding this phrase. And I don't know about you, but it just sounds weird. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. This is everywhere. Marks the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day. You ever go, did somebody write this backwards? Okay? Don't they know? It's morning and evening. That's how we start our day. We start our day morning. We end it in evening. And this is flipped. Do you know why? Because God's trying to tell them, you're not where you produce. We're going to start your day off at night while you're sleeping. And what did you just accomplish? Nothing. You slept. You accomplished nothing. You produced nothing. You're my creation, and I want you to rest. And we're going to start your day by resting, and then you can get up and produce. Then you can get up and do something. But only after you've done that. He even flipped the script on their days to try to drill this into them, that you are not what you produce. You are my creation, and I have a plan and purpose for you. And I'm just telling you, this is really different. This is really different to figure out, okay, now what in the world do I do with this? How do I do this? Because you realize that God not only needs to get them out of Egypt, he has got to get Egypt out of them. Because Egypt is stuck within them. I am what I produce. And it doesn't take long in the journey when you're reading through the book of Exodus, and you should do that, to just watch this journey. And they don't get very far. And all of a sudden, Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and he's getting the Ten Commandments, right? And what are the people doing? They went back to Egypt. And they pulled out a god from Egypt, a golden calf, made it, and were worshiping it while he was gone. What happened? Because God's trying to get Egypt out of his people, even though he has gotten them out of Egypt. And God has to do the same thing to us. We are so inundated. We are so blasted all the time by live this way, do this, accomplish this, that God so often has got to get our culture out of us and say, no, I need you to live differently. And he sets apart a day, and he says, it's my day. It's my day. It's a different day. You are not what you produce. You are my creation. And I need you to find your identity somewhere else, or you're going to continue to live a life of trying to check boxes and accomplish things, and you're going to miss all that I want to do in and through you. So what does this look like? Right? I'm going to try to be really practical and give us some decisions that perhaps we should try this year. Because this is just one of those lessons like, okay, so how do I do that? how do I flip this? This has been programmed into us all the time. So how on earth do I try to make decisions to do something different, knowing that God says, I am not who I produce. You are my creation. I love you. I created you. And I have a plan for you. And I got to get the culture out of you because you're just living by what it tells you to do. And I got to change this, or you're going to continue to live your life messed up, thinking you got to accomplish something and do something. So, here's three things that I'm going to suggest. How they look in your life, you know, I'd love to help you figure it out as I have helped myself figure this out. Because these are not just easy things. Oh, I can do that, okay? These are things that might challenge you. These are things that might change your schedule. These are things that might say, well, I might have to do something different. Now, on the surface, they're going to look easy. Oh, I can do that. Try, okay? Try. It becomes very challenging. And somebody would be like, oh, yeah, I have tried that, and it doesn't work, okay? Here's the first one. Rest. God, that's not hard. Really? Try it. And you're sitting there going, okay, I'm tired of resting, right? You gotta go. Because it's been so pushed into us, okay, to rest, okay? So check this out. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives, and here's our word, rest to his loved ones. So why are you out there trying to produce? I understand that, okay, but are you missing that God has something for you in this concept of rest? I came across this and I thought, man, this is one, right, some of us just need to get and post somewhere in our house, okay? Sometimes the most holy thing you can do is take a nap. Some of you are like, right, yeah, that's the only amen I'll ever get, right? Right, okay, now, I just need to add something to this, okay?
but not in church, okay?
Well, so you need to say now, not church, okay? So you just need to hear that, okay? Sometimes the most holy thing you do is to stop doing. It's to stop doing. It's to somehow stop. Oh, you don't know, I got excuses, right? And we all have excuses for why we don't, and why we don't stop, and why we don't rest, and why we didn't keep going, okay? Some of you just got a verse for that nap you take that your spouse has been like, why are you always napping? I got a verse, right? I got a statement from Ed now, okay? It's over. When do we do this? This sounds easy, but it's a lot more challenging than it is. Because for some of us, we just can't sit still. We cannot sit still. And perhaps in our not sitting still, we have not heard God speak into our life. And we have not rested. And we have not done anything. We're still trying to catch up and get caught up and produce. Some of you, this will be a whole challenge this year. How do I do that? How do I stop? How do I just rest? How do I do that? How do I build that in? Because God built it in for his people and said, there needs to be a day that you stop. It needs to be a holy day. That means it needs to be a different day than every other day when you're running around like crazy trying to produce. It needs to be different. How are we going to do that this year and make sure this idea of rest is into who we are so that we understand we are not who we produce? Number two, stop worrying. Well, that sounds easy, right? Okay. Do you know what's coming next year, right? Do you know what's, right? So, again, this sounds easy. It is a lot more challenging to do than it sounds. Stop worrying. Well, what did Jesus tell us? So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And there we are thinking, oh, this next year, it's going to be crazy. You know, I got this, I get this. And we're all thinking ahead, forward. And that causes a lot of worry. And we miss what God might want to do if we would stop worrying about it. In fact, at one point he said, I understand why people who don't know me worry. I understand that. That's easy. He just looked at me and said, but I don't understand why you're worrying. This goes back to one of the things we talked about on Christmas Eve. Do you know what worry is rooted in? It's rooted in fear. And fear is the opposite of trust. And God's constantly trying to get us to do what? Trust me. Yeah, but I'm worried, so I'm afraid. And since I'm afraid, that's the opposite of trust. And I can't trust you because I'm afraid. And because I'm afraid, I worry, right? It's just this cycle that we get caught up in. But if we're really going to trust God, trust is the opposite of fear. And worry seems to be so rooted and based in fear of stuff we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know what's going to take place, but gosh, it's going to steal our sleep, and it's going to steal our rest, and it's going to cause us to do a lot of other things because we are so worried that we're not trusting that God has a plan. And that God is at work, and that God has something for us, and that perhaps by stopping and resting and stopping the worrying, we give space for God to speak into our lives. Again, easy, right? Well, it sounds easy. I'll just stop worrying, right? Got that done. Okay? This is a lot harder. I get it. It is a lot harder, especially if you have kids, right? Especially at certain points of life, it gets even worse. There's lots of things to worry about. But Jesus says, can I just invite you to trust your Heavenly Father? That's all he wants to do. That he has a story, that he loves you, that he created you, that he will provide for you, that he will step into your life, that he will help, and that you can trust him. So take whatever that is and say, God, how do I trust you in the midst of this? Because all I want to do is I want to be afraid, and all I want to do is worry about it. So how do I trust you in the midst of this? That you're at work, and you have a plan, and that you are good. Here's the third one. Create margin. I've talked about this before. This idea of space, margin. That it is simply just that space that we put in different places. So in other words, you know, anything you read has margins, okay? It would look pretty crazy if the words were everywhere, okay? There needs to be space. Do you realize that one of the things that God tried to get his people to understand, this whole Sabbath thing, which I'm telling you required a lot more trust in their day than in ours. It just did. Really, we're going to stop? Do you know how much we have to do? Do you know how much we have to accomplish? We're responsible for all this. Took a lot more trust. And here they are, right? Okay, I'm going to trust. They must realize, this is God speaking to Moses, they must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. That part of stopping, right? That's God's gift to us. I don't know about you, but I haven't opened that gift very often. Anybody else here can identify with that? I don't open that gift very often. There's too much to do. There's too much to get done. There's too much to accomplish. So there isn't very often a Sabbath, a day that's different, where I'm not trying to do everything before, and I miss this gift that God has for us. It's a gift. It is a gift. And you and I, we just ignore this gift. Our culture's told us to ignore this gift. You just got to go, and produce. And we miss the gift that God has for us, which is this idea of Sabbath, of stopping. Margin means, I love this, found this week, that we intentionally keep ourselves from constantly running in the red. You know what the red is? The red is depleted state. We're depleted, we're on edge, we're tired, right? We're just depleted. On your car, okay, it's that point way up here in the RPMs that tells you to back off before you blow something up, right? And that's how most of us run in our lives. Just constantly the needle in the red area where we're depleted, we're worn out, and we're just, I gotta go. And in that space, we intentionally keep ourselves from hitting that red over and over again and living in this depleted kind of state. So, that was like wonderful, right? That's just encouraged everybody. What do you need undescribed to this year? You're like, man, I just had this whole list ready. I'm all ready to go for 2020. All the stuff I gotta do. But what do you need to unsubscribe to? To stop running in the red, to make space for God. Perhaps if we made space for him in our life, he would actually show up like we would want him to. And we don't have any space, so he doesn't show up, and then we're frustrated because he doesn't show up. But we just live every day the same way over and over and over again. And it takes a lot of wisdom to figure out what you're going to unsubscribe to. Because there's things that you might be, oh, I could get rid of that. But that might be where God is working really well in your life. You don't need to give that up. You need to give something else up. What do you need to unsubscribe to this year? That's what I want us to think about and pray about. So I'm just going to describe unsubscribing is the process of trusting God, not my production, for my identity. That perhaps that's the process we need to take. Where I'm going to trust that God has my identity, not what I produce, not what I create to give me my identity. So I want to pray for us this morning that we just ask God to help us figure out what is the thing we need to unsubscribe to. And in doing so, we can create space for him to show up in our lives and work in a powerful way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I admit these are hard words. They can sound really, really simple, but they're challenging. Because we don't watch any infomercials telling us to do this. Nobody in culture is telling us to live this way. In fact, your culture is telling us the opposite. We can push ourselves and we can be stronger, faster, quicker, and we can operate on less sleep. And we can have more production. And we have all bought into the lie. And we come exhausted most times. And we really don't have much space for you, God. If we'd be honest, we don't have much space. We can barely come together and worship and be together for an hour. We can barely do that. We can barely have time to even read a verse. Maybe every few days. We don't give you a lot of space, and then we complain when you don't show up. And we don't want to keep doing that. So show us a different way. Show us that you created and then you stopped. And you told your people so that we could read this and go, oh, I'm not what I produce. I am God's creation. And God stopped and rested. So, Father, I pray you'd help us to know. We need a lot of wisdom. Or we might quit the very thing that's the best thing that we have. And we might continue due to something that will lead us farther away from you. And we don't want to do that. So give us wisdom. Show us what to do. Help us to encourage one another in this process. Help us to rest. Help us to stop worrying. And help us to create some space. Yeah, it's going to look far different from what everybody else is doing. But it's a far better way to live. And it's the way you've called us to thrive. And it's the way you've called us to live as we follow you. So help us to know what we need to stop, where we need rest, where we need to stop worrying, where we need to create some space. Help us to do that in 2020. Instead of another list of accomplishments and further ruin our identity of who we really are. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you set an example by stopping, not just telling us to stop. May we follow that. And may you do great things in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.